You know, because it's 9 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 6 o'clock in Chicago. Here in New England, it's 11:42. Welcome to Political QRM.
Hello, everyone. It's Anne Marie and Lou again on Political QRM. And the time check is actually correct for New England because we do things on our own time here. We do.
That's right.
We do. So I hope everyone is doing well. We have our first day of fall, depending from which perspective you're looking at it. You either love it or hate it. I love it. Lou doesn't like it.
I'm not so big on it.
Yeah. So I love it. I actually have more energy, and I just want to get out there and chop down trees, which is what I was doing yesterday, and I overdid it. Ooh, you know, just dragging the brush back and forth and trying to get things in a pile. And
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things. Myself, I'd rather sweat than shiver. That's just me.
Okay.
You know, it's just funny, too, considering the years I spent as a chief engineer in a cold storage warehouse, right? 20 below
no,
zero.
That's true, yeah.
You know, hey, nowadays I only get 20 below zero for 6 months a year, you know, so that's an improvement, you know.
Instead of all year.
But you talk about thermal shock, boy, I'll tell you what, you go from a 100-degree day outside with 90% humidity and you walk into 20 below and you know you change temperature.
Man, does your heart stop? Jeez.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't mind.
Well, now,
damn.
Nowadays, my heart stops when I go from 20 below outside to 60 degrees in here. You kidding me? So, but yeah, no, and I really don't know what time it is in Chicago, but I will tell you this.
What?
It's time somebody cleaned that place up.
I think our cities have to have a good broom sweeping. All of them.
Because
most
just
of them.
Just last night. 8 people injured, including a toddler, and 1 person dead already. Well, out of the 8 people injured, one, in the interest of full disclosure, one got hit by a car running from the shooter. So,
oh, okay.
You know, but
still,
it counts. Yeah.
If the shooter wasn't there, that person would not have had to run.
Well, according to the last report I read out of, I think it was off West.com, mm-hmm. They're looking for 3 shooters. Of course, you know, hey, you know, they got the whole snitches get stitches thing out there, you know. And, you know, so nobody says anything, you know, and these guys will just fade back into the, you know, what are you living under, a rock? Well, they're living under a dumpster or whatever it is they live under. And
oh, woodwork, just like roaches.
Yeah. And nothing will happen. And, of course, we won't see Black Lives Matter marching down State Street anytime soon.
We won't see riots.
Nope, won't see riots.
We will not see cries for justice.
Although I guess it's actually living in a riot out there, right? Yeah.
Well, Chicago has been one of those cities, just like Detroit, just like, oh gee, Trenton, New Jersey, Camden, that I think they have gone off the deep end. And I don't know if they're going to be able to be saved. I really don't.
Well, I think one of the most telling things I heard, and it was about one of the other weekends where, you know, several dozen people were killed and injured in violence. As a matter of fact, I think it was the weekend that there was some sort of big protest for Black Lives Matter somewhere. And I don't remember which commentator said it. I wish I did so I could attribute it. But one of the things that was said is, in a neighborhood where gunfire is so common, people don't even duck when they hear it.
Oh, my God.
That's
pretty bad.
I lived in a neighborhood like that. It's called Vietnam. I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
And I ducked. I'm sorry. You know, people don't even duck. Can you? But you know, that. You know, kids out on a basketball court. You know, passing around a round
ball.
Maybe. And they turn and say, "Oh, well, okay. I wonder where that came from." You know, but that's about it. They're like, "Wait a minute."
Yeah, and then later on, they find out which one of their friends were killed.
And there are people, and I watched some of the protests coming out of Charlotte the other night, and they had already mobilized the National Guard. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you something. You want to talk about the hero of this entire process, it's Chief Putney.
Yep. Yep, because the mayor sure didn't take a leadership role.
Well, you know, she
was
got
calling
involved,
for calm, peace, yeah, and a dialogue.
Well, exactly, but that's her job, calm, peace,
no,
and
no,
she's
no,
a mayor.
No, no.
She's not a,
no,
you know, she's
no,
not the...
No. As mayor, no, people look to her. What she should have done was say, you are not going to treat the streets of this city as a battleground. Get off. And then instruct the police and the National Guard to do what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
It took her two nights, I believe, before she instituted a curfew.
Yep, two nights. And then even at that, they didn't abide.
That's right.
But,
well, let me tell you, you looked at the pictures, and bear in mind, folks, they were both black and white out there. Matter of fact, that one night I saw a great majority that were white.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with color.
Yeah, well, where the one correspondent was standing, I think, you know, I think I saw like three black people out of four dozen people.
Exactly.
But I got to tell you, I saw some of the most faith-restoring stuff. The National Guard had been mobilized, and they were standing on the steps of the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And I saw men get up between them and the crowd. And I'll tell you, I was watching it, and the one guy had a tie on and a white shirt. The other guy had a bow tie on, of all things. And then there was another guy who had on what seemed to be some sort of a clerical collar, mm-hmm, you know, that kind of thing. And they're literally running back and forth on the street, on the steps of the courthouse, they defused the crowd, mm-hmm, or dispersed the crowd, diffused the situation and dispersed the crowd. Got them off, and those National Guard guys were standing there saying, oh, thank God for God.
Yeah.
You know, because these
exactly.
men, and I saw them in the street. I saw the same thing. It might have been the same guys, because, I mean, you know, how many people do wear bow ties nowadays? I'm sorry.
Isn't
I mean,
that,
in a
tuxedo. Of the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan's group?
You know what? It is, but it isn't. I mean, Farrakhan has always worn a bow tie. But, I mean, whether he was a Nation of Islam
person. Could
have
been a Baptist preacher or something.
Could have been, you know, who knows? Maybe it's just the style he likes. I'm sorry.
True.
I don't like it. You know, in a tux, okay, fine. You got to, you know, you got to do it.
Right.
Evening wear, you know. But, you know, I saw so many people, and some of them were not dressed in clerical garb. You know, even out in the crowd, not just that night in front of the courthouse, but I saw so many people, you know, standing in front of the police, standing in front of the guard troopers, standing in front of these people, saying, no. You know, and, you know, to compare it, some people were comparing it, of course, with Ferguson. Some people, of course, you know, comparing it this way, that way, and the other way. But the problem is, they were actually, and I know this happened in the other scenarios as well, but they pulled a white guy out of his car, you know, kind of very,
I saw that.
And they took two white girls, and they said, oh, get them, they're white.
Yeah.
And then they
took a report and tried
to stick him in the fire.
Stupid. I know.
You know, it's and the thing that gets me is, I mean, I saw a graphic. You know, this is what Black Lives Matter is complaining about. And there's this little green line at the bottom of this chart. And then there's, you know, white on black on white. And then there's black on black. And instead of this little green bar at the top, it's this huge bar at the end. You know, bigger
that's
than
right.
all the other ones put together.
Yeah, that's right. But nobody's saying anything about that.
And now here
because
we have...
that's not their narrative.
It, you know, rare is the weekend in Chi-Town where we don't hear about at least one death.
And you don't see Black Lives Matter in there, do you? No,
I don't see any of them in there. I don't see Sharpton in there. I don't see Jackson in there. The only one I see in there, and this is something, just slightly off the... You do see people like Louis Farrakhan in there. Mm-hmm. And now, not only is he one of the guys who goes down there, but he actually called out the president the other day and said, let Trump win.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, you have to take a look at Farrakhan's motives and what he wants to accomplish. I mean, don't forget Chicago, is a fertile ground for him to find followers.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you know that as well as I do. Yeah. But it's just, it's all a way. It's just for him to find followers. It's just
to build
his ranks. That's all.
Yes, it might be self-serving. I get it. But the idea is he said,
that's the word I wanted.
He said, you know, Mr. President, I'm from this town. Mr. President, you're from this town. Oh, and in 8 years, you have not been in this town.
Well, don't forget, Obama has basically said, I really don't care anymore. My time is up.
Yeah, my time's up. What do I care?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. I mean, did he comment on the attacks, really? He waited a few days before he said something about the attacks in New Jersey and New York City.
Well, he waited several days to go to Louisiana in a flood.
Yeah, he did. So he doesn't care anymore. His only purpose right now and intention and job is to basically try and preserve his quote-unquote legacy. Although I think if Trump gets in, when Trump gets in, he's going to tear it apart. I hope.
What is his legacy? Obamacare. That's it.
No, Obamacare, disintegration of our military, of our social norms.
Well, I don't think he's bragging about that being his, even though that is his true legacy.
That is part of it.
When he says legacy, he's trying to find out, you know, how to build this presidential library. I mean, that's all he's really doing. And what are they going to do? Are they going to put it in Chicago?
I believe so.
You know, are they going to put it? Are they going to put it?
Is it Hawaii or Chicago? I don't know.
Well, that's it. You know, are they going to put it in? And if they put it in Chicago, are they going to put it on the South Side?
Not on your life.
No, of course not.
No, you know, he doesn't want to dirty himself with those people. God.
Oh, that's it. You know what?
Obama is just here just to see how many golf games he can get in on the taxpayer's dime, yep. Fly all over the world. He and Michelle are trying to make as many trips overseas
and as then the, possible. And then that speech in front of the UN.
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, I just want to close that first remark there with the fact that our cities are in trouble. Even Farrakhan knows it well enough to actually to de facto endorse Donald Trump. I mean, he never came out and said, you know, but in a roundabout way, he actually endorsed Trump. And I think that's every bit as significant as anybody can get. Mm-hmm. But now, as far as the president and what he has been up to, you know, giving his final speech in front of the UN is one of the things he's considering as a hallmark moment. And I'm like, you're right. It is a hallmark moment. It proves what an idiot you've been for 8 years.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there were so many I's and me's and, you know, we's and, you know, it's just like it had nothing to do with America's place at the UN. It had to do what he felt he accomplished.
And what he hopes his legacy will accomplish.
Yes. It's just, and you know what? And I have heard him say this before. He actually believes, or maybe he doesn't believe, but he's actually said that the world is a safer place since he became president. He's like, what are you kidding me?
Yeah. Right now, I think all he's doing is holding the door open for Soros. I mean, Clinton.
Yeah, well, he's trying, yeah. No, yeah, definitely. You're right on that point because you know as well as I do that Hillary does not have the physical stamina or the mental ability to be president. I'm sorry, well, somebody, she doesn't. She has health problems.
The other day I said it. Somebody asked me, well, what does Hillary stand for? I said, about an hour, max.
That's it. Did you hear about the rules for the debates?
You mean the no chair rule?
No chair. She will not have a step stool, although the podium will be made specially for her, so it doesn't seem like it dwarfs her. Also, an hour and a half. No breaks.
No, I'm sorry. I just had a thought run through my head.
Go ahead.
They're going to build the podium special for her. So, in other words, they're going to put a pedestal there for her to stand on. Is that what it is?
Well, also, don't forget handrails, hidden wheelchair, you know, and somebody to prop up her head.
or put a neck brace on so she can't swing it around wildly and, you know, crazy glue her eyes forward or something.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
I mean, the one eye is, like, basically going in circles. I was like, she has some severe neurological problems.
I'm telling you, when I saw that video, the only thing that kept going through my head is, you remember when somebody, when the anvil fell on the Wile E. Coyote and his eyes flew around like that?
Exactly. I mean, she is like, man, I took one look at that and I'm like, oh my God. And you know, every time I see it posted on Twitter, everybody always puts a disclaimer. This was not Photoshopped, I promise.
I know. You know, I saw that all the time. You know, it's like that day when she was looking at the balloons. She was standing there with Bill Clinton looking
at
the balloons.
Oh, my God, at the convention.
I was ready for... the only other image I went through, you know, whenever they used to get clobbered with something, the little bird would fly around, tweet, 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 tweet.
That's what it looked like, exactly. No, she has serious health problems. You know as well as I do, if she does manage to become president, she's just going to be a figurehead. It is going to be run by George Soros and all his little minions. Then he's really going to tear America apart.
She's a regent, you know, more than a president.
Yeah,
you know?
She is. She's a regent. I think Trump's numbers are really good. I think that they're higher than we're led to believe. I think a lot of the polls are skewed.
Wait, hold on. I just saw...
What'd you see?
I just saw who did it. I don't remember if it was CNN. Was it
one of the suspects?
Them, yeah, the usual suspects. One of them just got busted for yesterday physically skewing the Quinnipiac. You know, somebody from Quinnipiac turned around and said, no, that's not what we wrote.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Gosh, I just saw it on Twitter not 10 minutes ago.
You know, the Fox site has this little thing now that says bias alert.
They've had that. Oh, bias alert. Yeah, with Kurtz and Ellen Ratner and...
It's amazing.
Oh, it's and you know who else is involved in that is Bernie Goldberg and Kirsten Powers, because Bernie Goldberg wrote that book years ago about you know, I don't remember what it's called. It's out on the bookshelf in the other room, but I have it, and I don't have Kirsten Powers' book. I've been meaning to, but there's so many other books I really want to get first. But yeah, they write about the fact that it's institutional bias, and you know, follow the narrative. You know, and things like that. Now, they said that there was a certain amount of that going on at Fox, even.
Yeah. No, there was.
What's his name? No, what's his name? The one that's in trouble for chasing the girls around.
Roger Ailes?
Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
That he was told from corporate that... And I think, you know, we did lose a couple of people from Fox before the whole thing with Gretchen Carlson. And people are wondering in retrospect if it had to do with political issues as opposed to whether or not it was just happened to be a good-looking girl. And we were watching Judge Jeanine's opening statement, and we know how she feels about Donald Trump. But, I mean, they've known each other for 40 years, you know, so you get it, you know. But Debbie turned around and said, wait a minute. She said, I thought they weren't allowed to be endorsing... And that's why the Greek girl lost her job. And I was like, well, the thing is, I think Jeanine doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think her honor gives a damn.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know, but I wonder if the Greek girl was let go because of her endorsement of Trump from way before the convention.
I would be a bit surprised.
You know, or if, you know, he was chasing her around the office. I don't know which. All I know is we suffered a great loss by losing her. But, you know, it's getting to the point where nobody, but nobody, is afraid on air on any network to say who they're for. But this is the strangest run-up to a general I have ever seen in my life.
The reason is because... Ever since Obama became president, well, even before, for heaven's sake. I mean, you know, this went on with Clinton and stuff. And, you know, gee, let me go back further than that. But they always did it very, very quietly, or just tried to skew the news report just a bit, in which they did not come out and out and say it. But now they don't give a damn.
Nope.
Okay? But the thing that is occurring is that the American people are actually fighting back against this. More and more Americans have recognized it. And they're not paying attention to them.
Well, I also want to look back and say, okay, so let's go back to 07, 08, you know, back in the days when the Hillary Clinton campaign started the birther movement.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, let's go back that far and say, okay, we did have, you know, social media, but we didn't have it the way we have it today.
Right.
You know, I mean, we had MySpace and LiveJournal and Facebook to some extent in 08, but we didn't have it the way we have it now. I'm on 6 or 7 different social media sites. We've got, I mean, we had Drudge in 08, but we didn't have, you know, the plethora.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that we have now. And I think that is driving a lot of what's going on to the point where, and when I say the strangest run up to a general I've ever seen, I'm actually seeing the left asking difficult questions of the left. I mean, we're starting to see. You remember when, what's his name, with the tingles running up and down his leg?
Oh, Chris Matthews. Jeez Louise.
And now we see Bill Maher, you know, unhappy. And we see Anderson Cooper, unhappy. Oh, we still see the pom-pom girls, if you want to call them that, Matt Allen Cohn. But, you know, it's amazing the stuff that they're asking. Like, what the hell's that guy's name? He's a comedian, and he does that TV show, Between Two Ferns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he had Hillary there. I think she thought that she was being amusing. I honestly think that's how she was approaching it. And it wasn't very amusing. He was making a fool out of her.
Yeah, but the B-roll on it, where they showed what her face looked like a couple of times, was like she was unhappy.
Yeah, she was unhappy. I think they're realizing, too, some of them, is that she is somebody you're going to have to make fun of because she cannot be taken seriously anymore. Too many things are coming out about her. Too many things are coming out about Bill. They're not adored like they were. We have generations. You know, the soccer mom days are over. Let's face
General,
it.
General Powell in that email about what Bill's up to even to this day.
I know.
You know, it's and whether they invite I said
do it.
I said this morning we were watching some of the stuff that comes across the YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, that somebody said something about Jennifer Flowers because Hillary was going to bring Mark Cuban, and of course.
Oh God. Do you know that? You know,
so
an idiot.
I said, well, it's a good thing he stopped at Jennifer Flowers, because if he wants to bring all of Bill's quote-unquote conquests, they're going to need a bigger stadium.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and I think he should fly the Benghazi families in.
Oh, those are the ones that should be in the front row. The hell with Jennifer Flowers. You should bring in those parents. Want to see her have a stroke right on stage? Seriously, I really think he should. And you don't know whether or not he's going to do it. Maybe he may not, you know, publicize it. They just might be there.
I think all he has to do is the heck with who he brings in and sits in the front row. The heck with it. All he has to do is not let her talk over him. Not let her rule the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and Donald Trump her to death. I don't mean physically death. Don't, come on, people.
No, I know.
You know, Donald Trump the daylights out of her. That's all he's got to do. That's all he's got to do. Get her to the point where no breaks, baloney. She's going to need to get off stage. You know, get her, handrails on the podium. You know, hell with handrails. Put ropes on it. Put her against the ropes.
Yep.
You know, rope-a-dope. And just don't even counterpunch. Punch. You know, go in punching, and don't get nasty, don't get loud, don't get aggressive. Just be, you know, be Donald Trump. Donald Trump the daylights out of her. That's all he's got to do. It doesn't matter who's in the front row. It doesn't matter who's in the back row. It doesn't matter who's moderating. Just Donald Trump the daylights out of her. That's all he's got to do.
You don't think that he'll go soft on her because he's afraid that of the women?
No.
Vote. Okay. I hope not. I hope he does not go soft on her.
He's got it. Well, you know something? You know, like you said a minute ago, the days of the soccer mom are gone. But the security moms are still here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you've got people running around, shooting people in malls, you know,
the Hispanic.
I looked at that very first picture, that very first grainy image, and I said, are you that gang, old Hispanic?
There you go. That's what I said to Barry last night. I said, it's not Hispanic. He goes, you're sure it's positive.
Oh, yeah. So, and then the other guy running through another mall with a knife, chasing people down, asking them if they're Muslim, and this. Now, these are malls. These are malls. You know, one of the cartoonists who does political cartoons, you know, if anybody subscribes, politicalcartoons.com or some such thing, you know what I mean? Legal Insurrection. One of those places that does everybody's cartoons. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the guys who does those cartoons lives out in Bellingham, Washington. Mm-hmm. And his brother-in-law and niece were in that mall.
Oh, my gosh.
At the time. And they got out safely. But, you know, this is hitting... isn't hitting close to home. This is home.
Did you hear one of the young girls murdered? She was 16 years old, and she was undergoing a battle with cancer. She basically had beat it.
Wow.
You believe that?
Yeah, I believe it. That's a doggone shame, but I believe it.
No, it is a doggone shame. It's like, damn it.
Yeah, but that's it now. People are starting to realize. People in Washington and people in Minnesota and people in Orlando and people in Purdue and people have now lost loved ones.
Yes.
Again, for the first time since 2001. People are losing loved ones.
And you know what the thing is, though? It's incremental, though. It's not like all of a sudden there's these big, you know, terror attacks, like 2,000 people. A little bit here, a little bit there. But you know what? They still add up to a very sizable number, folks.
And if I were sitting here, not here in Maine, but, you know, or for that matter, here in Maine. If I were to go down to the mall, and there's only two in the whole state, so, you know, kind of tough. Mm-hmm. But if I were to go rolling down the aisle at a mall, you know, and some guy starts running down the hallway with a gun or with a knife or a cleaver, because that seems to be a biggie these days, you know, yelling Allah Akbar, and comes up to me and asks, because I've got a beard, you know, oh, are you Muslim? No.
Bam.
Bam.
There you go.
Two, three rounds.
End of conversation.
Yeah, end of conversation. You know, would I actually answer him? No, but Sam Colt might.
Exactly.
You know, and but here's the problem with it is.
What?
You know, by the time he gets to me, how many people has he hurt or wounded? And somebody come up to me and say, oh, how could you vote for Donald Trump? You know, Hillary's the first woman. Yeah, well, what's Hillary
so what
done?
She's the first woman.
Yeah, but,
what the hell is wrong with people? Just
you know,
because
did you
she
know
has
any-
a...
Yeah, did you know anybody in that mall? Well, yeah, my brother was there and he got stabbed. And you still want to vote for Hillary, you dopey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, it's people have to start using their brain. People have to stop saying, oh, well, I want. Okay, this is the same thing with Obama. A lot of people voted for Obama because they wanted to be part of something historical. They wanted to be able to say that they voted for the first black president, even though you and I both know he's really mulatto and he's not
well,
black.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're looking at basically his color, all right? So he looks black to them,
well,
so
the first
they voted
time.
For him. So the same thing. This is the same crowd. They want to take a look at Hillary and go, well, I'm going to be one of those people that cast the vote for the first woman president. A lot of it, that's all it's got to do is symbolism. Here. They don't give a
identity
damn.
Identity politics.
Identity
politics.
That's it. They don't care about the issues. They don't think anything is going to affect them. They don't think that, they think that they're going to benefit. Especially women. They think they're going to benefit by the first woman president. And they're not. Well, so what? She's going to funnel more money to Planned Parenthood? Really?
Well, I got to answer that to a certain extent in the fact that that Trump's numbers are indeed increasing in almost every demographic.
They are.
And I have to agree with Ed Rollins. I think that this debate will push people off the fence, you know, or change their vote. Because as Donald Trump said when he was in front of that church, you know, what do you got to lose?
That's true.
What have you got to lose? And you know something? Those people out there, and I'm not talking about the didn't do nothings. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the, you know, the grandmothers that raised the kids because the mothers were crack addicts. You know, I'm talking about the That's women right. who go to church every Sunday and please, yeah. Lord, save my child. You know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what? They're going to turn around and say, wow, my son was killed because of, you know, drugs, or my son was killed because he was in with the wrong crowd. What if we could get rid of that wrong? What about the broken window theory and the stop and frisk theory? What if we could bring that back? You know, mm-hmm. whether it's New York or Chicago or whether it's Camden, whether it's Trenton, whether it's right. L.A., whether, you know, and you get some of these people in Los Angeles and you get some of these people in. And I'm not talking about terrorists running through malls with meat cleavers. I'm talking about places where you've got stuff like Norenos and Sedanos and MS-13 and yes, Latin yes. Kings and, you know, all this
We're
stuff going Crips and
run.
Bloods. You know, these people, these mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles that, you know, that go to work every day, go to church every Sunday and stuff like that, they're looking around, you know, and they're like, the guy's right. What have we got to lose? What have we got to lose? Some gangbangers?
Well, see, the thing is, too, I mean, when Trump stood up in front of the African-American churches, you didn't see him taking on a quote-unquote black accent like Hillary does.
Now, I have no idea if he carries hot sauce in his pocket. You know, I'll tell you one thing I don't like about Donald Trump, and it's the pretty much one of the very few things that I don't is he eats his steaks well done. That really annoys the Christmas
out. Oh, for God's sake. Well, that's true, because I don't like that either, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Barry does that too, and know, he insists on cooking mine that way. It's like, you know.
No. Just walk it out here. I'll carve off what I want and ride the rest home. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, with hot sauce on
I'm
it,
not
thanks.
That bad, but. Oh, jeez Louise.
You know, but, you know, I'll chew it right off the bones. I don't care. Okay. But, you know, he didn't say, I ain't in no ways tired.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if he had?
Oh, my God. To this day. I mean, even if it happened 2 months ago, the press would still be talking about it.
I mean, you know, look, it's not even a question of saying, you know, oh, gee, you know, this white guy gets up in front of an African-American church and says that with that accent. Well, wait a minute. Last I looked, Hillary's a little pale.
That's true.
You know, it's not like she is, you know, I mean, I guess she was married.
One way, one eye's going yeah. the other.
Yeah, she has blue eyes. One blue over there, one blue. The, you know, look, I mean, I get the fact that people actually refer to Bill Clinton as the first black president, and she was married to him, but that doesn't make her black either.
No.
So when they say, oh, a white guy get up and talk like that, well, what a white woman just did that.
Exactly.
You know, what's she going to say next? Oh, my favorite fruit, watermelon.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? I am taking a look at everything that is coming out about her. And this, I'm honestly, throughout the years, I have always said, wait a minute, are these two going to be allowed to get away with everything that they have done to people throughout the past 40 years? I mean, seriously, they have basically built their lives, their careers, their foundation on the backs of other people. And murders, for God's sake. Unexplained murders, unexplained... You know, people missing. I mean, sexual assaults. I mean, these people have basically just built their whole lives on deception and cheating and lying. And, you know, with her health problems now, Lou, I think that it's, you know, karma.
I honestly think,
because you know what? The presidency of the United States is the one thing that she has wanted the most in her life.
You know something, I wish I was there when she was a kid and her mother said, you know, you could grow up to be president someday, and I smacked her right in the mouth.
Exactly. But no, I think this is the way I look at it, and I hope I'm right. The one thing that she wants most of all in life, she's going to be denied. That's what I think. I think she's going to be denied it. Because to quote Obama's reverend, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Coming home to roost, exactly. Well, I've been saying for a long time, and now I'm starting to hear some of it. I list myself on all my profiles as an amateur pundit. Which is true. I am. I'm also an amateur fashionista, but
real amateur.
Yeah. But no, rank amateur. But
your fashionista thing goes to guinea tees. Okay.
No. I'm talking about real clothes, not when I'm sitting here, my, you know, with no pants on and a guinea tee, you know. And today I am wearing pants. It's cold in here.
It's cold, and he also has a flannel shirt on.
Yes, I do. I have a flannel shirt on. First time she's seen me in a shirt, and I can't tell you how long. Anyway.
Yeah, damn.
I've been saying for a very long time, and some of the professional pundits now are picking up on it, and it's pundits, people. It's not pundits.
Yes, pundits. Yes, pundits.
It comes from Sanskrit. Trust me, it has nothing to do. There's no N in it except the first one. So, anyhow. Mm-hmm. I have been asking for a long, long time, how did she go from quote-unquote dead broke, mm-hmm. not having had a real job, her husband not having had a real job, to being worth over $100 million?
I know.
I mean, she's had a government job. Now, granted, I imagine Secretary of State is fairly well paid compared to a guy working in the back room of the post office, but...
That's right.
She's had a government job, the only job she's had. And she's worth $100 million. Where the hell did that money come from?
Pay for play.
Well, yeah, all right. And, you know, unless they've got one of those, unless they've got one of those trees, in which case I'm going to go snitch a dollar bill off it and plant it in my yard.
Yeah, right. I know. But that's how she did. She basically sold access to American secrets, Americans' natural resources, you know, that pay for play. Basically, that's it.
And what's up with this schmo? Look, I was trained as an IT guy. I went to school. I got my MCSE certification, my A+, my Cisco CNE. You know, I've got all these things. All right. I mean, granted, they're so far out of date. It's, you know, I mean, I graduated 2 days after 9/11. So, you know, so I'm a little rusty, mm-hmm. you know, not up on the latest and greatest, but. If they sent me a subpoena as an IT guy, could I just decide not to go?
I know. Every single one of these people, they're just not going. I think it's like 4 or 5 people so far.
Yeah, but I mean, could I just decide to not? I mean, look, if they sent me...
Are you kidding, Lou? You know, within 24 hours of you not showing up, you know damn well that your door would be busted down and you'd be dragged out by your hair with or without your wheelchair.
If I witness an accident out front, mm-hmm. and I give a little report to the sheriff's office and stuff, okay, fine, see ya, right? 6 months, 8 months, a year later, whatever it is, 2 weeks, whatever, you know. I get a subpoena from traffic court to appear as a witness. Can I just say, I don't feel like going.
Again, knock down the door, you'd be dragged.
Traffic court right here in Naples mm-hmm. could say to me, you have been subpoenaed, and you know what, I don't want to go. Well, that's okay. You're in contempt of court. Spend 30 days in a can. Now, here's this guy. Yeah. This is Congress.
I know.
Not only did they send it out, service, they sent the second one served by the United States Marshal Service.
And I know.
What do you think should happen to this joker?
Door knocked down. Dragged out by his hair and thrown in jail. I mean, that's the usual process, isn't it?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that is SOP. I'm sorry, I get a little passionate about these things, but this is our legal system.
Oh, so do I, for heaven's sake.
You know, and I mean, I know.
Excused?
No, of course not. Neither would you. Hell, you can't get excused. You have to go crazy trying to get excused from jury duty in this country.
That's true.
You know, which, I'll tell you something. I got excused because of my disability. And it had nothing to do with, you know, not being able to pay attention or whatever. I had no transportation. I got no way to get there and back.
That's true.
You know, I mean, it's 14 miles away. And that's great, except for the fact that 7 of those miles are straight up a 15% grade. I'm just not going to be able to wheel myself up there. But you can't even get, you know, people, and I don't understand this. I swear to God, if I had transportation, I'd have been there.
What do you know what the case was?
No, it's just one of those routine jury duty calls.
Oh, okay.
You know, you go and you appear, and you either get excused.
Yeah, I've been involved in that twice. I got out of it. Because I actually,
but that's it.
Yeah.
Why did you get out of it?
Why? Okay, one of it was a selfish reason. I wanted to work on a political campaign, but actually the two cases that I got out of, one of them was what they call a nails and board here up in New Hampshire's a contractor and homeowner dispute. And considering my house was falling apart and I had real issues with the contractor, we didn't have the house built. I had real issues with the contractor who built this house, and we were trying to sue at the time, nails and boards, so I got out of that one.
Yeah, that one will get you out of it.
The second one, it took place in my hometown here, and the police had arrested them, and actually it was, they had fought with the police, okay, so that was basically what that was about. But at the time, we were working with, it was right before 2000, we were working with the police to install some equipment and stuff like that. So I was definitely biased toward the police, so I wouldn't have been able to give an honest.
Well, my first jury summons, way back when, you know, I was still on the police department, and I got jury summons, and I was like, okay, you know, so I had occasion to be at the courthouse on occasion anyway. Mm-hmm. So I walked in with my jury notice, and I walked over to the court clerk, and I said, you know, I was wearing a uniform, badge, and a gun. And I said to the nice lady behind the counter, I said, I just got my jury notice. What can you help me fill it out? And she goes, yeah, sure. And I said, Mom, look, here it is. And she took it, and she stamped excused on it and handed it back to me, and she filled out a little thing in a book and said, sign here. You know, that was it. I was a police officer. They're not going to bring me in, and, you know, if it was a contractor case, it wouldn't have been so bad, but if it was a criminal case, I'm a cop.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So
exactly,
they didn't want me on the jury. But I mean, my thing is now. I mean, if I had a way, look, if the courthouse was next door, and they call me for jury, I'd be there.
Yeah,
I'd be there. I mean, I might get excused because of my political views and, you know, stuff like that, but I'd still go. You know, I encourage everyone, as much as I encourage everyone to vote, I encourage them to serve on a jury. You know, because that's how our country works.
I know, but you know what? There are people out there that I don't even think should vote. You know, remember what I told you when I was at the polls the other last
week? Oh, good God. Oh, good God, yes.
I mean, come on. Let's see. Pink's my favorite color. Maybe I was like, oh, my God.
Okay. Oh, my God. And the one I saw, one of those man in the street things just the other day.
What?
He went around some college. Oh, geez, some, you know.
Oh, yes, the Institution of Higher Learning, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, or as they used to call it on Tony Danza referred to it as, you know, some big shot college where Einstein is at. You know, was it one in the Colorado? No, because there were palm trees. I think it was in California. And the way the guy phrased the questions, he's asking these college girls, right? Mm-hmm. And the way he was asking the questions, they agreed with him that women shouldn't vote.
You're kidding. What did he?
I don't remember how the exact phrase, but he does this all the time. He did the same thing with, should we celebrate the 4th of July? Oh, this is the same guy who did the thing showing the doctored photo of Donald Trump Jr. with a hunting rifle sitting in front of a Triceratops. And he was showing it to people, and, oh, he shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Was
should he be
Dice?
Allowed to shoot? Yeah, Mark Dice, that's him. Okay. And he did one saying, oh, should they be allowed to take, you know, if not that, well, what about something like a woolly mammoth? You know, oh, they've got to be very endangered. He shouldn't be. Yeah, they're endangered. They're real endangered. They're extinct, you numbskull. You know, I mean, that's who he was. And you know, it's...
I'm laughing, but this is tragic. It really is.
And not only will these people vote, but they will reproduce.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about it. Did you ever see that movie, Idiocracy?
No. I saw clips, and I also I saw that one. I saw clips of, and there's another one right down that alley. Doggone it, I can't remember.
It's I think you can get it on Netflix or Amazon, but yeah. It's like 10 years old or something like that, or 15 years old. But oh my God, you take a look at it, and you realize that this is exactly what is going on. I mean, people are so blasted stupid.
And it's something, because you know what, the intelligent people out there who watch this and stuff, I could imagine.
I looked at that and I shuddered. I did.
Watching this guy Dice and Jesse Waters and a couple of the other ones who do this all the time, and it just amazes me. I'll tell you something. If I were, say, I don't know, 30 years old, and I was watching this on television, right? And let's say, you know, I was 30 and I, you know, was professional, and I had gone and, you know, gotten a vasectomy, you know, or my wife had her tubes tied or something like that. We'd be at the hospital the next morning saying, undo that.
Yeah.
Undo that. We got to put some good genes in the pool. We got to put some bleach in that gene pool. You know, we got to filter that gene pool out a little bit. You know, undo it, you know. But
exactly. Listen, I want to change the subject a bit here. I really want to talk about this massacre in Washington State in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they arrested the guy. He's a Turkish immigrant, 20 years old. Gee, the vetting process really worked. Now, that goes hand in hand with the fact that a few days ago, the State Department said, we expect a few terrorists to come in with the refugees. What?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I wonder how many of the 858 new citizens are terrorists.
Yeah, exactly. The 858 new citizens who, oh, by the way, should not have become citizens. A lot of them were supposed to be deported.
Well, full disclosure, Department of State does say, no. You kidding me? I was born here. No, but in full disclosure, they did say it was an accident.
Oh, please. They did say it was not an accident. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah, well, like the 942, you know, earlier in the year.
Exactly. You
know, accidentally, they took the deported list and stamped citizen on all of them. You know, this is just, I think this is just getting to the point where, and I believe it's going to go to Trump's favor.
Yeah, I do too. Also, that mayor who came from London came over here and actually had the nerve to say, well, terrorism is now part of big city living.
I'm sorry.
Well, he's a frickin' Muslim. I mean, you know, to him, it's a badge of honor.
And the thing that really, really knocks me out, and I didn't watch the game, but the Mets had him throw out the first pitch at their game.
I saw that. What are they, nuts?
Look, I'm a Yankee fan anyway, so, you know, don't really confront me. But
wait a minute. Come on, New York City, for heaven's sake.
Yep.
De Blasio, I don't know, probably they got some pressure from De Blasio and his people. And De Blasio saying, oh, yeah, we have to, what did he say again? What was it about exceedingly rare that Islam, Muslims are terrorists? Oh, wait a minute. I got the latest one from the Pope, in which he said he wants to see a dialogue between Christians and Muslims. And he said this. He had the damn nerve to say this in Nice.
Jeez.
125 people, 129 people dead.
Yeah, where he sits there and he tells everybody that we should have an open dialogue with Muslims. Essentially, why doesn't he go to Saudi Arabia and tell them to build churches?
Yeah, I know that.
You know, where it's against the law to have a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nuts. These in the shadow of Freedom Tower, in the missing shadow of the World Trade Center, they bring this Muslim in to throw the first pitch of the and radicalized, essentially. I mean, yes. Bill de Blasio, I'm sorry, people like that, I don't know how the hell he got to be mayor. I don't know how he didn't fail to thrive as a kid. Somebody with that amount of brain should, I think, it should, you know, without gills, isn't going to be able to breathe.
No. I don't know.
I said the other day on Twitter, I don't know if you saw it, I said, you know, after everything happened the other day, with the pressure cookers and stuff with that other terrorist had planted in New York and New Jersey, I said they should give a press conference, the two of them standing there, they should get a giant brassiere and put them in it because they're just a couple of boobs.
Yeah, they are. Yes, I agree.
Him and Cuomo, you know, and I mean, Andrew was worse than Mario was.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think Mario would have, I think, recognized it. But, you know, Andrew is just part of that generation in which we have to all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and that'll be the answer to all the violence and hatred in the world. You know, in other words, an idiot.
Yeah,
don't forget, these are rich people who can insulate themselves from all of this. So they can sit.
Speaking of rich people who can insulate themselves, have you seen the commercial?
What commercial?
There's a commercial now. It's all these quote-unquote celebrities. And they're saying stuff like, don't elect this egomaniacal, crazy person. Why would we trust Newts to a guy whose big phrase is, you're fired?
I know.
Kind of stuff. I watched it. It's like 45 seconds. And it's just celebrities. All these celebrities. It was touted. Oh, all these celebrities. All these celebrities. And I typed back in on Twitter. I said, I got three right and one possible. I think I've seen her somewhere.
Oh, no. One of them is Robert Downey Jr. A bunch of them, Mark Ruffalo from the Avengers.
You know something, Amory? The only ones I recognize.
You really think I'm going to take you seriously?
I recognize. Woody Allen was in it. Martin Sheen was in it. There's a girl who's almost in tears, a blonde girl that I said to myself, I think I've seen her in something. The other one was Sarandon, right?
Oh, of course. She's got to be.
And I said, yeah, well, that's it. So Debbie and I watched it today because she hadn't seen it yesterday. But it came on, you know, today, and we were watching it today. And she goes, that's not Susan Sarandon. And so I was like, okay, so I only got two right.
Well, the thing is that, you know, these people are think that we're going to be swayed by this. Whereas the only thing we look at them, watch them on screen, is just for escapism. And we don't give a damn what you do in your private life. Granted, now, there are people that live, eat, and, you know, drink, you know, these celebrities, all the happenings in these celebrities' lives. I personally don't give a damn. I mean, some of you have absolutely no freaking brains. You have no education. And even those of you who have gone to colleges, I don't think you really paid attention or you actually developed critical thinking skills. You just sat there and you took in everything that the liberal professor said to you. So as far as any of these people in Hollywood, I don't pay any attention to them. I mean, to me, go ahead, say everything you want against Trump. But let me tell you something. If this economy improves under Trump like I think it will, you're going to be even twice as rich, you stupid pieces of crap.
You know, and if Hillary wins, you're going to get taxed to death unless you move all your money offshore.
I don't know if they will get taxed to death. She might have some sort of,
Well, here's the part that kills me. They're going to listen to these people. And Debbie told me after we watched the commercial, she said, oh, that's Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, it is.
And I said to her, okay, who's that?
Oh, God. You never watched The Avengers?
No.
Oh, okay. I got to admit, the movies are good. I love them. But, you know,
Seen it. Yeah, I've never seen it.
There's like a whole series. And so he's Iron Man. He's Iron Man.
I haven't seen that either.
They're good. They're good escapism, good action movies. I like them. They're based on DC Comics.
I was never a comics guy.
Okay. Well, actually, I was, but only on the, you know.
Mad Magazine, yeah, but not
Archie
the comic.
And stuff like that. But no, seriously, I mean, I think Hollywood takes themselves entirely too seriously. They really do. They really do.
Well, Debbie explained to me who he was, and she showed me. She looked it up on IMDb or Wikipedia or something, and she showed me who he was. And I'm like, I don't recognize him. She goes, well, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I said, yeah, okay, yeah, I don't remember that far back anyway. You know, go back to the 50s, I'll remember, but go back to the... And she said, oh, he was in a lot of trouble. He was on dope, and he was on alcohol, smacked some girls around, and he, you know, ran from the cops, and, you know, all kinds of Charlie Sheen kind of stuff. And I said, oh, really? So this is an icon they're holding up saying, you know, this is what I think. You know what? If that's the kind of life you lead, I don't care what you think.
Yeah, I know.
And what's that other schmo? Comes out, he's always against guns, against guns, against guns, and he makes his living shooting guns. He makes all these movies
Which
shooting
one?
Guns.
Which one? There's a whole bunch of... Oh, I know Matt Damon?
Matt Damon. Yeah, Matt Damon.
Yeah, the one... Yeah, he does... what the heck are those movies? I don't like the movies that he's in. I can't remember. For heaven's sake. Bourne. Jason Bourne.
Yeah, well, that's it. He does all these Jason Bourne movies, which I haven't seen those either. But he does, you know, where he's, isn't he a cop or a spy or something?
Yeah, a spy. Yeah. No, everything's and, shoot up, right? And also the thing is, the guy that does NCIS, Mark Harmon.
Okay.
He's another, guns. I mean, you know, he's supposed to be an expert in the guns and everything like this. And yet, in his private life, he's against... basically us having guns. He thinks that gun violence is horrible. Well, you're looking at the wrong... See, the thing is, these people are too stupid to realize they're looking at the wrong people when they talk about gun violence. They're looking at you and me. They're looking at the gangbangers in Chicago.
I just looked to see what... And I realized I did see a Matt Damon movie and I did actually like it was Dogma.
Goodwill Hunting?
No, Dogma.
Oh, yes. I like that movie, Dogma. Yeah, I've seen
it. He played one of the angels or something.
One of the angels. Actually did a good job. I have to admit.
It was amusing, that movie, with Jay and Silent Bob and, another insanely liberal played the Scion.
Yeah.
Who else was in it? George Carlin was in it. What's his name that played the bad guy in the Die Hard? Alan Rickman.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. But, I mean, you know, so it was, I mean, come on, it was a lib cast and a half. But
most
of them are, you know. But I get tired of it. What did you say about these people when you said Dancing with the Stars? What was it?
They thought it was an astronomy course.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Thought it was a show about astronomy. Right.
You know, I mean, come on.
You know, good God! You know, like these kids who say, "Oh, I know socialism will work this time because my my political science professor at UCLA said it would." You know, you can't get away from the fact that there are people out there who, look, face it, there are people out there who believe that the Inquirer and the Star and stuff like that really are the quote unquote hot sheets. You know, whale boy with, 20-foot tail, born in, West Tuola, Alabama or something.
They sit there and go, oh, my.
Yeah. Gene Dixon predicts end of world. Well, that's pretty much every December that issue comes out.
The end of the world. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Hey, is she still alive or is she dead?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I haven't seen her name on the front of the Inquirer in a long time.
Yeah, sure, she's got to be dead. No, but seriously, oh my God, that's a blast from the past, isn't it? Oh.
Yeah. Like, I always wondered why Miss Cleo never called me.
Yeah. Well, she will never call you now, Lou.
Maybe not.
Not
but, well, she could, you know.
Well, yeah, from the great beyond, I guess, right?
Yeah, all of them. Sybil Leek, Gene Dixon.
God, Sybil Leek.
Ms. Cleo. All these people. It's like, if you're such a psychic, why aren't you calling me?
Oh, wow, she's been dead quite a while.
Sybil Leek? No, Gene Dixon.
Gene Dixon, 1997.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I guess that's the last time I paid attention in the supermarket checkout.
It makes two of us, yes.
You know, but look, and there's even intelligent people out there who believe that every time you see an aircraft going by, the contrails are full of chemicals.
Oh, for God. Yes, I know, and I agree with you on that one.
I turned to one of the guys, and I said to him, you watch these aircraft when they're flying over, right? Yeah. I said, well, you're in New York City. It's still pretty low. Yeah. I said, when you're out in, Kansas or something, and they're at, 40,000, 45,000 feet. Yeah. I said, you see the contrails? Yeah. I said, by the time you watch them go what appears to be 4 inches, you realize they've gone 300 miles. And he's like, yeah. I said, do you have any idea how much chemical you'd have to carry to spit that stuff over 300 miles? You'd exceed the weight ratio flying, the weight and balance ratios in a plane. You know, come on, that's silly. You know, well, we never landed on the moon.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know, and there were at least 4 shooters at JFK. You know, all these things. All right, Marilyn Monroe getting killed by the FBI, I can dig. You know, but, you know, or the Secret Service or something. But, you know, all these things. I'm like, people, there's real stuff going on. Those people in the cities aren't dying from chemtrails. They're dying from bad people with guns.
Yeah.
You know, these people in the mall didn't get killed by even by a bad guy with a gun. They got killed by a bad guy with a knife.
Well, you know, the one in Washington State, though, they said that they're reluctant to call it terrorism. What else can it be, for God's sake?
I think it's terrorism. I wouldn't care if the guy was blonde-haired, blue-eyed, named, you know, Mickey Flynn.
It doesn't matter.
From,
if you're following Islam and you do it, it's terrorism. I'm sorry. I don't, you know, no, I'm not sorry. This is the way it is.
Well, here's my thought on it, because I agree with you in essence, all right? But you could be Catholic, you could be Mormon, you could be Baptist, you could be Baha'i, you could be Buddhist. If you walk into a mall and start shooting people, that's terrorism.
I know.
You know, it is an exacerbation fact if it happens to be a Muslim, because I haven't heard of a whole lot of Baha'i doing it.
No, neither have I.
You know, and no Harry Kirshner in the airport ever attacked me because I didn't bite a flower.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So which was always one of my lines. Imagine what happens when we get to Pearly Gates and find out they're the ones who were right.
I know.
You didn't buy my pencil. Oh, my God. But, you know, but what are we going to do? What can we do?
You really want to know what my opinion is?
Yeah, let's start there. We'll go downhill from there.
Well, first thing, stop anybody from coming in. Cut down on immigration right now. Just blanket. We do not need these people. We do not need anybody here right now. Okay? Close the border. 2, take a look at every single mosque in the United States. All mosques should be open up, just like the Catholic churches are, Methodist churches, Baha'i. If the police want to go in any of those other places of worship, you know, the minister or priest or whatever will say, sure, go ahead, no problem. We have nothing to hide. Whereas mosques have something to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So all mosques, personally, I think Islam is on the same level of Nazism. Really, it's on the same level of Nazism, and it should be made illegal.
You know, or Maoism, or
exactly. But you know, the thing is that people seem to just say, "Oh no, Islam is a religion." No, it's not. Again, let me say this again: it's a 7th-century culture, and they follow a man who was a cheat, a liar, a murderer, a pedophile, and we're supposed to accept that?
Well, I think the word you used was too long. I don't believe it's a 7th-century culture. I believe it's a 7th-century cult.
Okay, all right, yes, some people say that, yes.
You know,
yes,
I mean, it's just like...
Okay.
Just like the snake cult in Conan the Barbarian. Doesn't matter how many million people you got following you, if it's a cult, it's a cult, it's a cult.
That's true. That is true. I think Muhammad was the first Antichrist. I really do. Came 700 years after Jesus Christ died. He, and everything that he stood for was completely against what Jesus Christ stood for.
Yeah, antithetical and then some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that he, you know, I can't, you know, I can't understand how, you know, they talk about all the things they want, Sharia law and all this other stuff, and I can't understand how anybody, you know, and if you decide you don't want to follow our Sharia law instead of your constitution, well, that's fine, but you've got to pay our tax, or we kill you, Or what? Mm-hmm. Well, gee, that does sound very peaceful, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just so peaceful.
And, yeah. You know, these people loving. Claiming that we've got it wrong, that Islam is actually pro-woman. Yeah, you wrap her up in a tent and she can't speak or drive or read. You know, other than that, yeah, it's pro-woman.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know,
because you're kept on a shelf like a little China doll.
Where are...
Oh, except when they decide to break you.
Where are legs. Our feminists?
No. No, the feminist culture has completely been, I don't know, corrupted or just...
Why are in the Pacific Northwest, why are they having these quote-unquote slut walks?
Having slut walks?
Yeah, have you... You haven't seen this yet?
No,
yeah, all these third-wave feminists and stuff get together and they do what's called a slut walk, and they carry signs saying no means no, and...
And they're labeling it a slut walk.
Yeah. In other words, they're getting dressed. Some of them are actually going out bare-breasted, but they put, you know, to stay legal, they put electric tape on their areola and things like that. And they, you know, bathing suit bottoms, and they walk down these streets, and, you know, I am not a slut, and all this other stuff. They call it a slut walk. And they're all there saying, oh, Islam, Islam, Islam. Well, why do you think they put their women in tents like that? The reason they put their women in tents like that is because men can't control their urges. Muslim men not only cannot control their urges.
They're encouraged not to control it.
Yeah, exactly. They're said, you know, you are the man, that is the female, you do what you want to do whenever you want to do it.
As is evidenced by what's going on in Sweden, Denmark, Germany, you know, where they tell them, you don't want to be attacked? Well, then just don't go in this area that night. Or maybe you should cover up a bit more. What?
I see these videos of people getting, you know, girls walking down the street, standing, you know, come out of a nightclub, and these Muslim guys abuse her. And I mean, smack them around and stuff.
Yeah. They basically pounce on them.
Well, it's good. You know what? We're seeing backlash because Merkel's gotten a couple of very, very severe wake-up calls lately.
Yeah, but you know what? She just said that her regret was is that she did not properly prepare the people. She would have still done it,
mm-hmm.
but the propaganda would have been more thought out.
Well, it's still going to bite her in the backside because she didn't.
Let's hope it does.
I saw a video the other day. It was very long. I didn't watch the whole thing. I skipped through it, you know, 15 minutes at a time. This unbelievably huge protest in France. They said several thousand people involved in the, what is it called? Culture or something in English. I don't remember what it's called. And these people all carrying French flags and stuff, and they're walking down the street in unison, and they were throwing, Muslims, I guess, were throwing, you know, obscuring smoke, because you can't get your hand on CS grenades over there, but, you know, obscuring smoke and stuff, trying to disperse. I mean, they refused to. They just kept marching and marching and marching and marching, and the gendarme did nothing but protect them.
Well, you know what? I forget what country it was, but... There were these Muslim youths running around the town, this one city or one area, and they were basically just kind of abusing people. And after a while, you saw a bunch of guys come together, young guys, and they basically beat the crap out of them.
Yep.
I forget what country it was in. Was it Sweden?
Well, no. I can help you with that. There were some of them that were thrown out of Sweden that went into Russia.
Yeah.
And those Soviet boys don't handle that stuff well.
No.
And they just, and then there was one, they were on a football pitch, these Soviet kids, right? You know what Soviet men look like.
Oh, God, yeah.
So these Muslims were acting a fool, and they ran down the football pitch and beat the tar out of them. And then there was a nightclub in, I don't know if it was London or Bristol or Bath, I don't remember where, but these Muslims were standing outside of a nightclub and giving some girls a hard time, and these oi boys came out, you know, with the docks, with the suspenders, with the white shirts, came out, and that was that.
You know, people do have to start fighting back, because if they don't, Seriously. I don't know. I don't know.
They were harassing a businessman in France, and he turned around and shot them.
Yeah. No, I remember that one. Presidential debate, we've already kind of discussed that. Obviously, Lester Holt is going to be...
useless.
Yeah. I was just going to say, trying to make Hillary look good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's going to do. I really think that at the end of the debate, there's going to be more of an outcry from Trump's people than there will be from Hillary's. I think he's going to, you know, but it, to me, though, it's how Trump takes advantage of the opportunity. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's just a businessman. I'm like, what? Another thing that they keep saying is, you know, how is he going to be able to deal with these people from other nations? He knows nothing about foreign policy. Wait a minute. Let's back up here, folks. The man has built so many things in other countries. What do you think? He just goes to another country, purchases some land, and says, let's put a building up? I mean, he has to deal with different nations, different customs, different politics, and they're saying that he won't be able to handle the foreign policy? Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
They have no clue.
Different, yeah, 100 different nations, 200 different languages, buildings.
Exactly.
Come on.
So what does he do? No, seriously, it's like, oh, let's go put up a building in Singapore. You know, let's just, oh, yeah, right, okay. So he's going to take a look and go, okay, so what's the political atmosphere there? What's going on there business-wise? What's going on there economically? What's going on there socially? You know, what are their attitudes toward the country? I mean, come on. He knows more about foreign policy than Hillary Clinton ever will.
And let me tell you how, if I were Donald Trump, and I'm not, but if I was, Monday night, tomorrow night, and as far as Holt is concerned, other than when he pushes the button to say time, I'd ignore him.
Yeah, I will bet you 2-1 he will.
I'd just leave him out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
I'd leave him out of, oh, it's time, Mr. Trump, you have to yield your time. Oh, okay, fine. You know, you don't want to be... Well, not just keep going, just, you know, just say, oh, okay, my time's up, okay, fine. You know, let me just make this little point, okay, fine, now I'm done. You know, flipped it over to Hillary, you know, and let her do what she wants to do. You know, because that's if they can control her from not trying to talk over Trump. But if they can or if they can't, you know, I mean, that's up to Holt to do. That's why he has a moderator's job, you know. But I would just basically ignore him.
Okay, but you know, well, you mentioned her trying to talk over Trump. I mean, but how, what's the line that she crosses that goes from talking over to talking shrilly?
In my opinion, right out the gate.
You think so?
Oh,
she's
going
to sound very shrill.
I don't think she can control that.
I don't think so either.
I think it's part and parcel of her personality.
Well, let me put you this way, and I'm going to, I think that she's going to have to be so drugged in order not to either fall down or sound like a fish woman.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I really do. I really think that she's going to have to be so drugged.
For the rest of you and the rest of the country, us Italian people on the East Coast, saying a fish woman is somebody who barks out, you know, because she's selling fish, that, you know. You know, I think right out of the gate. And I think one of the things we're going to see is I don't believe she's going to go 90 minutes without having something, either a stumble or an eye roll or something that's going to take place. And that whole conspiracy about the earpiece the other day, I think this time they're going to work harder at hiding it, but yet I can't believe that she won't have somebody off stage going, okay, keep talking, you're doing okay, you know, keep going, keep going, the way they did, you know, in the past. And I think the shrill part, as I said, is part and parcel of her personality, and I think she's going to break right out with it because that's the only chance she's got. If Donald Trump comes out...
that puts people off.
It does, but not her supporters.
Yes, but at these debates, they're trying to pull in new voters, though.
Yeah, but the Vagisil vote is strong with this one. You know, it's just... I think if Trump comes out and just... is himself and keeps at her on the offense without being offensive. I think if he comes out and right out of the gate, just puts her to the ropes and keeps her there, there's nothing that she nor Holt can do to salvage that.
I hope so.
And you know, I say it without being offensive, because if he does, then she'll gain. But go ahead.
Exactly. But you know what? Actually, when I have a friend, and she said to me, "Well, I'm going to vote for Trump." She goes, "Even though I find him offensive." And I said, "What do you mean you find him offensive?" She goes, "Well, it's just his way of doing things." I said, "Well," I said, "he's a successful businessman." I said, "He is from New York City." I said, "And I guess maybe that offends you, considering she's from the South." So that's what I've heard from all the women. Well, I find his treatment of women horrible. It's like, well, how has he treated women? Where'd you hear this? So they give me the normal blah, blah about, you know, and I'm like, come on, people. You know, do some research. Don't just make the blanket statements.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, somebody asked me recently, and I said, listen, I said, I don't care if you like or not. I really like him or not. I really don't care. I said, because on January 22nd, whoever's standing there in that big White House on Pennsylvania Avenue is going to appoint a Supreme Court justice. The odds are good that in 4 years, there's anywhere between two, including that one, two and five Supreme Court justices. So who are you voting for, Lou? I'm voting for the Constitution of the United States. I'm voting for the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. You know, do I like everything he says? No, God forbid. I don't like everything anybody says.
You can't. That's human nature.
Right. And I've been preaching the litmus test to people for years. Mm-hmm. You know, you mean to tell me you're going to vote for the other candidate? You like every 99%, but because they're, you know, against Roe v. Wade, you're not voting for them. Now, you're either going to vote for the other candidate or you're going to stay home because you don't like his stance on that. Or you don't like the stance on gun control, or you don't like the stance on immigration, or you don't like, shut up and sit down and pull the lever.
Yeah, exactly.
Who the heck are you kidding? What are you not, even Ted Cruz is now behind Trump.
That's true.
Farrakhan came out and, as I said, de facto, effectively endorsed Trump. The Tea Party patriots have come out and endorsed Trump. If you think they're not bringing voters with them, you're kidding yourself. Especially people like Farrakhan and Ted Cruz.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, Tea Party people would very likely vote for him anyway, whether they got the endorsement from National or not. But, you know, these people are bringing... Mark Levin has jumped on the Trump train. You know he's bringing people.
Yes, exactly. Hey, you want a little bit of humor?
Yeah, I could always use a little humor.
Gary Johnson, that right there should make you laugh.
Right there.
Libertarian presidential nominee, offered a solution to the planet's environmental crises. He says, we have to inhabit other planets.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. After all, he's been to them.
You know, oh, my God. Really.
If he and, what's her name, Smith?
Weld.
Well, no, not Weld. What's her name? The Green Party.
Oh, Jill Stein.
Jill Stein. If they want to do something about global warming, I can fix a lot of global warming in a hurry. All I need is four pieces of duct tape, one on each of their mouths.
That's true.
Stop the hot air. You know.
That's right. All these liberals should just shut up, and then the temperature will go down.
I'm starting to take them less seriously than I did, if you can imagine such a thing. You know, if Gary Johnson came out and said, Gary Johnson came out and said, oh, I could hit, you know, X number percent of the vote if I were allowed in the debate.
Mm-mm. No, I think he would get less. I think he would get less.
You know, listen,
Gary. You're on stage high.
Gary, you've got no feet left at all from shooting at them all these years. You don't need any more bullets in your and your little piggy.
Yeah, exactly.
You really don't.
Exactly.
You know, you'd have to be stoned. You'd have to be stoned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it matters or not. And here's my take on it. I believe, because of the fact, you know, of who and what I am, I believe that all medicines, because face it, you know, way back in the day when they were drawing reindeers on the cave walls,
mm-hmm.
if they didn't feel good, they went to the guy in the mask and he said, here, chew this root, you know. Mm-hmm. And then it went on all the way up to Big Pharma. And now basically there's a whole bunch of people out there saying, here, chew this root.
Chew this root. You know? Exactly.
You know, and you'll feel better.
Full circle.
Yeah, right. We're going full circle. So do I believe that marijuana has medical uses?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yes,
I do.
I think it's overprescribed more than Ritalin is, but I believe it does have medical uses.
No, I know. You know, I'm legitimate medical uses.
Yes.
Okay? Not stuff that's made up.
Well, there's also the fact that, look, I've got a disease for which it has even been suggested that mm-hmm. I should, you know, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Cop too long, I just can't do it.
Right.
But the other thing is, I mean, come on, face it, there's people out there who make products out of marijuana that don't even contain any THC. They contain the other ingredients, and, you know, there's little kids that they give cookies made out of it, and they don't get stoned.
Right.
But they're seeing, you know, therapeutic issue. Okay, fine, good. I agree with it. I don't believe in recreational use. I don't believe in being able to be stoned and drive. Mm-hmm. I sure as hell don't believe in being stoned and running a nation like the United States.
Oh, my God, please.
But how do I feel about it? But that's it. I don't know if you read my essay mm-hmm. that I addressed to the libertarians of the United
yes.
States. You can't every 4 years, you know, set down the joint and say, oh, we got to run a candidate, man. You know, mm-hmm. who we got to... Gary Johnson, dude, you know, you can't do that. You got to...
We're going to be showing our disdain for the Republicans and the Democrats. Guys, no. Use your brain this time.
If you want a candidate in the 2020 election, you should have started building one up now.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let everybody say, oh, the libertarians are back. They must, you know, they must need dope, you know, something. You know, just give them some brownies. They'll go away, you know.
That's true.
You know,
no, they're just spoilers. They act as spoilers, or they act as want-to-be spoilers.
I agree. But, you know, there are people out there who believe in the platform. Eric Bolling, John Stossel, you know.
Yeah, that's fine, but you know what? How come I take them more seriously than I take Gary Johnson and Bill Weld?
Well, because
there's a problem
there. Yeah, well, that's it, the disconnect. And, you know... There are people who believe in what the Libertarian Party stands for. But this goes back to my statement about litmus tests. Everybody in the country, you guys believe in the whole thing, limited government and all this other stuff, but everybody believes all you want to do is get stoned.
Yes, that's right.
It's a perception issue. Mm-hmm. So get away from the dope thing. Like, get away from, I said, with the Republican platform. Get that Pray the Gay Away plank out of that platform.
Yeah, they get that out. That's ridiculous.
You know,
that is so ridiculous.
Get that overturn Roe v. Wade plank out of the platform. And the Democrats,
get that
welfare plank out of the platform. Because the perception becomes
reality.
It's
not going to happen.
No, I know it's not going to happen with them. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, after all, they're the ones who realized that the word liberal was killing them, so they changed it to progressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to make your get away from the litmus tests, mm-hmm. stand on your issues, but get away from those litmus tests. They're toxic.
Yep. True, true. Oh, boy, we have talked ourselves up. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
well, the one nice thing is it's, you know, macaroni.
Not making popcorn.
Oh, how'd your gravy work out?
Very good. Very good. I
See,
actually
like
had
right,
some
I told you.
I could freeze. Yeah, it was really nice. After a while, after you get everything going, and all of a sudden the aroma just permeates around the house, and then you get the Italian bread after a while and just check
it a bit. The heel down in there, yeah. You get, every so often, you got to go in there and stir the gravy. You take the wooden spoon. You know. And it was good,
right? Yeah, but it was nice. And Barry comes in, he's like, oh, my God, that smells so good. So, yeah, uh-huh. I'll probably do it again next Sunday. But, you know.
Sounds like riding a bicycle, I told you.
It was. I remembered everything, you know, uh-huh. making the meatballs and the, yeah, it was nice.
And a brasciole and a, you know, salsiccia.
I did not make brasciole. I did sweet and hot sausage
mm-hmm.
and the meatballs.
Okay. It's a start. You hadn't done it in a long time.
It's a start. Oh, my gosh.
Did you fresh grate cheese, or did you buy that Americano grated stuff?
Oh, God, no. We use Pecorino Romano. We use the Locatelli brand.
Yeah, I use the Romano, and I get the Parmesan cheese, and
We get the block.
I got a box grater. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, you don't put it in.
I did that when I was a kid. My mother said that was sawdust.
Yeah, it is. It's got anti-clumping agents.
Yes,
and
no,
and all
it's sawdust, for God's sake.
And you know what else? You know what else I put when I grate the cheese?
What?
I give you a little hint here, just for what it's worth. Because nobody, pays attention
to me.
Nobody's
listening. Okay, go ahead.
You take, when you buy a chunk of provolone, right?
Okay.
You know, when you get it down small and you, do I want to eat that now? You let it get hard. You wrap it in the wax paper like you always do with all the other cheeses, and you put it in the bottom in the drawer where you keep the other cheeses, right?
Right.
And when it gets really hard, you grate some of that in with the pecorino and with the Romano.
Really? Huh.
Not a lot. Okay. Like maybe, 10-15%. And you shake that all up. Oh, Maron, that's good. And you eat the cherry peppers with it or not, or the long hots?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah, see, I can't eat macaroni without my either cherry peppers.
No, I don't. My mother used to like that.
Debbie had to pull all the cherry peppers off the plant.
My father used to do that, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the long hots, when I can get them, it's not often I can get them, but when I can get them up here... I think I don't get them as often as I once did up here at Hannaford because I annoyed that produce manager.
That's
but
true.
I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed in the. If anybody wants to know why, all right, it's because I was raised differently than many of you. You don't bounce fruit.
No.
You don't pick green peaches and put them out as tree ripened.
I know.
The other thing, if anybody really wants to know how this works, I recommend a movie called Uncle Nino with Joe Mantegna and Ann Archer. Mm-hmm. And Joe Mantegna's daughter actually plays the daughter in this movie. And it's about this uncle of his that comes over from the old country, and they take him into... they're having a language issue. I mean, he speaks Italian yet, but Ann Archer certainly doesn't. And the first day he's there, they go to a supermarket, and he's eating the plums. And he said, this is no good. You got to pay for that. I'm going to pay for this, So she had to hustle him out of the store. But
sounds just like you, huh?
Yeah, it's wine. Wine, you know, they wanted to make macaroni, right? So he wanted some wine, and she said, "Oh, I think I have wine." And she goes up into the top shelf in the kitchen cupboard, and she pulls out this box of Almaden or something dust on the top that they had left over from a party. And brings it out. He goes, "This is no good."
It's vinegar.
So he goes up and he brings down a bottle of wine he brought from the other side. I'm telling you, it's called Uncle Nino. And
I actually have it on my watch list. I have to watch it.
It is actually a very fulfilling movie. If you're Italian American, it's marvelous. If you're not Italian American, it's wonderful anyway. It's just one of those movies. And Joe Mantegna, of course, Paisan, Gina, his daughter, or actually, I guess her name is Gia, is marvelous in it. Of course, she's an adult now, but. It was a wonderful, wonderful movie. It's worth watching. Very heartwarming. But anyway, that's how I judge everything. The same way they do. I mean, I didn't get this from watching a movie. I got this from years and years and years of being raised that way. With fish ladies. Butchers and cheese men and produce men we used to have the guy.
The guy come down with the fruit cart. And the guy coming down and go,
fruta, fruta, Malone, a basket. Yeah, I used to get the tripe, la driba, tripe man came down the road, and you bought the sausage casings off of him, and you bought the tripe off of him. That's what you bought. And we used to have a guy used to call Biondoline Man. Mm-hmm. It was, it was a jug. It was a brown gallon jug, you know, with the ring on it.
Yes.
And it was bleach.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And it was called a Bianguilin.
My mother and used to tell me about that.
Yeah, and we had the Bianguilin. You know, then the guy came down and sharpened the knives and scissors. And
yes,
then,
yes. You know, that was still going on in my neighborhood in the late 70s. You know that?
I don't know when it stopped in Newark, but I think it might have stopped because the ethnicity of the neighborhood had changed. And I know you mentioned that Ken Burns program about the Italian Americans.
Yes.
And of course that's marvelous. I've seen it twice.
I cry throughout the whole thing. I do.
Well, I'll tell you something. I watched one about the Jews too, and I cried. And I'm not Jewish.
I know. Yes, I did watch that one too. Yes. But you know what? I've watched both of them, and it's amazing just how similar how they approach things. You know what I mean? In this country.
Well, I guess that might be why one of my buddies is a rabbi. You know, but. You know, but no, but I'm saying the Italian American one, the diaspora from the old neighborhood, is in that particular instance is so graphically illustrated that I think that's probably why they stopped. I mean, you know, let me face it. You know, this Bianguilin man, this tripe seller, this fishmonger, this sharp knife sharpener, knife saw spoon sharpener, scissors sharpener. These guys, they did that job, and they did that job until they were 115 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they went through three horses in their lifetime, you know, and, you know, that's how it – do you think that they worked that hard and made that money and put their kids through school? And you think that son's going to want to come and do the job?
No.
No, of course
they
not.
They knew.
You know, I mean, it's like – because I remember when the knife guy, the knife sharpening, scissor sharpening guy – went to sell his horse, and he had it for $50. And a guy come along, and he says, "Why is it only $50?" And the, you know, older Giuseppe, he goes, "She's a no looker too good." And he said, "What do you mean? She looks fine. Her teeth are in good shape. She's not that old." He said, "She's a no looker too good." So he gives him $50. He rides off and rides smack into a phone pole. And he says, "What the hell? This horse is blind." He says, "I'm a setter. She's no looker too good."
Excellent, excellent. And with that, folks,
what a way
we're
going
to have to wrap up this edition.
I think that, you know something? I used to watch that Vicar of Dibley. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, yes, the Vicar of Dibley. Oh, my God, yes.
And they always ended the show, and the credits would roll, and then the credits would stop, and the vicar would be sitting there, and Alice, and she would tell a joke. And, of course, Alice didn't always get it or didn't get it in time or started quite, you know. But what a way, I think from now on I'm going to do, it doesn't necessarily have to be an Italian. You know something, folks, when you go to make the comments, because I'm asking for comments again, shilling for comments,
yes.
If you got a joke
shameful
you want me to tell
shilling
on the air, put it there.
Yeah, and
if it's,
sure.
If it's
oh,
not
gosh,
filthy,
yeah, that'd be great.
You know, and Amory and I, you know, on politicalshowrm.com, put it on and listen to it instead of, you know, some other schmo like NPR or what have you.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and Twitter, Facebook, Minds, and there's a new one called COAS, C-O-A-S, mm-hmm. And it is a conservative alternative to Facebook and Tumblr.
Hmm.
It's brand new. It's in beta.
Wow.
And I just joined the other day, and you will find some of the people there, like Computing Forever and Undoomed and stuff like that, and some of the others, and yeah. Let's see if we can put it all to little Marky there,
okay.
And say, hey,
maybe
hey.
I'll take a look at that one then.
Yeah. And sooner or later, we're going to get this thing even more impressive than it ever was. And do you know why?
Why?
Because this is the United States of America, where we're allowed to do these things. And why? Because God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.